Estridge. Welcome to everyone who is here in the auditorium, and also for those of us who are showing true commitment to Jesus by being out in the tents. So we're grateful for them. It's been some crazy times. I feel like 27 weeks ago, like this bomb went off. And now we're just kind of all peeking our heads out of the bomb shelters because the smoke begins to clear and seeing who's left out there, right? It's like weird. I think the even crazier thing is that we are not through this thing yet. It seems like we have a ways to go, and my hope and prayer is that we're in the fourth quarter and still not sitting there back at halftime, waiting here in the eye of the hurricane, waiting for the next wave to hit. So we are praying earnestly for the end, not the end, but the end of this thing, for sure. I just want to say that, you know, reopening was a really difficult decision for us as a leadership team because we never want to put anybody at risk. But we felt like with all the safety measures that we put in place, the social distancing and masks, and thank you for respecting the mask policy, leaving the doors open, thank you for enduring a little bit of chill in the air, installing all the touchless systems, and now the new filtration system that we've installed that just got installed yesterday, just in the nick of time. And with the different options for services, we really feel good about the safety measures. We've done everything that we can put in place to get us open once again. So I'm just excited to be here, and I hope you are too. It's a weird thing for me because the last time that I spoke virtually to all of you, the world was a completely different place. We were pretty much still locked down. No one was really seeing each other. No one was really going to work. There was no traffic out on the streets. Wearing the mask was this weird new phenomenon, and not that it's, still not a little weird for us, but we're starting to accept this new normal. So I would say that while the first few months of COVID, I would describe like this almost peaceful anxiety, there was a significant shift that occurred, and I feel like the world has changed in the last few months, and I'm thinking not necessarily for the better. We have had political and racial strife and looting and rioting and killing and wildfires and hurricanes and Bears games without any fans in the stands, not that that mattered. But it just feels like a lot of us, including myself, have really lost our way. And so as I'm struggling over the last couple weeks when we made the decision, as I'm struggling to decide what to speak about over these next few weeks, and I'm thinking about everything going on in the world and how to really be relevant in these times, I decided, what the heck? Instead of like skirting around all the issues, we might as well just hit them all head on and go right for it. And so this morning I'm launching a 5-week series entitled Race, Religion, Politics, and Jesus. So I think I got everything covered in that. Is that right? And we're going to end the Sunday just before the election with a message entitled Is Jesus a Republican or a Democrat? And y'all may be surprised by the answer, by the way, just like when White Sox fans finally discover that Jesus is really a Cubs fan, it's a tough reality to accept. But anyway, I think that this series, I'm gonna promise you one thing about this series, is we're all gonna get a little uncomfortable. I'm gonna talk about some things. I'm gonna really try to hit some stuff between the eyes. I'll be uncomfortable, so I want you to be uncomfortable with me. But the whole idea is to challenge some of our preconceived ideas and worldviews that we have developed, especially over the last few months, and to kind of bust some of that stuff open. Here's what I know for sure. Like I said, there are a whole lot of us, including me, who are really, really lost right now. And we've not only lost our connection to God, like I just had to acknowledge, because I've really put him aside, to be honest with you, over the last couple of months. But we've also lost our connection to each other. And I think a lot of us have become isolated and dug in. We've become walled off and divided in this country in our ideologies. And so in this series, look, I'm just trying to bring us all back together again by reminding us of what is truly important in this world. That we can really get rid of the superficiality of this world and really focus in on the things that are real. And at the very core of that is this. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? If we could just get one thing right in this world, what would it be? And Jesus, without hesitation, said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then he says, and the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everything, he says, everything in God's laws hinge on these two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor unconditionally. It's a love for each other that says, while we may view the world differently, while we may disagree, I will still commit to stand by you no matter what, even if it don't come easy. It's really good to be back, and I really appreciate the musicians' commitment to us all, you know, going through this thing. And y'all were essential workers for me, I'll tell you that. Well, the passage that I read earlier is a critical reminder, I think, that the Christian faith is not just based on believing that God exists. Right? I mean, the Bible says that even the demons in hell believe that there is a God. So, believing in God isn't a distinction of whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian or whether you're a follower of Jesus or not. So if we call ourselves a Christian, it's not enough to just say that God exists and that makes us a Christian, and that's the full extent of my faith. There's got to be something more. So the question is, what is that X factor, right? What is that distinguishing factor that makes me a follower of Jesus? And Jesus says it very clearly. There's one thing that sets us all apart, and it's love. And that may seem like kind of this, you know, touchy-feely kind of a thing, but the kind of love he's talking about is seriously radical and a lot of stinking work. It's a radical, relentless love for God, and it's a radical, relentless love for each other. And Jesus goes on any further, just so you have a very clear understanding of what he's talking about here, he goes on in Matthew 5, and he says, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you this, love your enemies and pray for those who wrong you. So Jesus says that the kind of love he's talking about, the kind of love that is required of other people is you may have to love people who are not all that lovable, people who you may not even like. And the word for love here in the Greek, in the original Greek, is the word agape, which means a divine, selfless love which will go to any length to protect the well-being of another person. So agape is the love in which God had for us when he sent his only son into the world to die on a cross for our sin. Agape is the relentless love that a mother has that she'll do anything to protect her child. Agape is the love that causes someone to lay down their life to save somebody else, even if they don't even know that other person. It asks the question, what can I do to help? And before it even gets the answer, you're diving in. The problem with this is now this. It's the who. Who am I supposed to love like this? Right? I may love my family like this. I may love my husband or wife like this. I may love my parents like this. If you're lucky, you may like or love a neighbor or two like this. But do I really have to go beyond this? Can I pick and choose? And Jesus says, absolutely not. Like, this is a love that we have to have for everyone that we encounter. And he goes on and further describes it in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, it's the kind of love that when somebody wrongs you, you love them still and you turn the other cheek. It's the kind of love that when somebody comes up and asks for the shirt off your back, even though they don't deserve it, you love them so much that you give them your coat as well. It's the kind of love where you're loving people that you really don't like, people who are different from you, people who think differently than you, people who annoy you, people like those lefty liberal Democrats, right? Those socialists. Or how about those righty, conservative, heartless Republicans? Now Jesus is saying that I have to love people who don't believe what I believe. And that's hard for me to accept because you know I'm right. And my Jesus, I know my Jesus, and my Jesus is behind my political party, and I don't see how you can't see that. How could you be so blind and not see the world like I see it? Right? If you're looking for a church, by the way, where everyone is the same and everyone believes in the same thing, you're in the wrong place. And I will tell you this, that I will just confess this to you, that this is really difficult for me because I have very, very strong political views that I'm guessing are different than a lot of yours. And I think that my political views are better. Right? In my heart, I believe I'm right. But it's that kind of arrogance that I have at times when I know that I am putting my political views ahead of my faith. Because if I put my faith ahead of my political views, then I'm not leading with politics, I'm leading with love. If I'm leading with faith, then I'm trying to understand your point of view, and we can have a discussion and still love each other. And I think the problem that has occurred with COVID through this pandemic is that we've become so isolated from each other, and we've lost our connection with other people who look differently than me and think differently than me, and we've become so focused, we get entrenched instead, and we dive in on these social media news feeds and cable news channels that cater to my particular point of view, which, by the way, further proves I'm right. Right? It proves my point of view is the correct point of view, and so we become so myopic that we have zero tolerance for anybody else's point of view. I can't even imagine how you could possibly think that. I think we all need to do, as Pastor Chris suggested last week, that we need to disrupt a little bit of that junk in our lives. And we need to pull back on a lot of the social media political battles that we engage in and the news channels that spin us to the far left or to the far right and start focusing in on what's really, really important in this world and leave the superficiality of this world behind, because I'll tell you right now, these politicians are not the answer for any of us. I hate to drop this bombshell on you just a few weeks before the election, but here's the truth. Politics will not change the world. Only you and I can do that. That's the truth. And as Chris said eloquently last week, don't take the bait. Ask yourself, am I willing to push my politics out of my worldview so that I can see clearly that the driver and the mission of my life is not putting my faith in some politician or some politics, but instead putting my faith in the one who loved me so much that while I was still a messed up sinner, Jesus died for me. And then and only then, can we then honestly look around at everybody else around the room and around the world, and we can see that at the end of the day, we're all in the same bucket. We all need Jesus. There is no room for any of us to judge anyone, because the truth is, we are a bunch of messed up sinners just trying to find our way back to the narrow road that leads to Jesus. And I'm just telling you, we can't get back there quick enough. Because then and only then will we be able to disagree politically and still love each other unconditionally. The key verse that's going to be the driver for this series for the next several weeks is found in the Old Testament when the question is asked, how should I then live? And in Micah chapter 6, it says to act justly, to seek justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And today, as we all go back to our little bomb shelters again, I just want us to just keep focusing in on that one phrase, walk humbly with your God. One of the best things we can do, all of us, that we can do right now is to lay down our right to be right and humbly accept that, you know what? I don't have it all together. I don't have a monopoly on the truth. And that we should all consider the possibility that when other Christians hold political views that disagree with your own, to have enough humility to believe that they have good reasons for what they believe in the same way that you believe in yours. And I think that that really comes down to just one word in the Bible that is so powerful, and it's the word grace. This is foundationally the vision that Westridge was built on, that we give grace to each other. And the passage that impacts me the most out of any other passage in the Bible that really builds a foundation for grace, it's a long story, but Jesus says in Luke 7, he says, whoever has been forgiven much loves much and accepts others freely without condition. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Now, what that's not saying is that God forgives some people, some of us, more than others, or that some people are worse sinners than anybody else, because it's not true. God looks at all sin as the same. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that we are all in the same boat together. And we're all a bunch of messed up sinners, and ain't nobody any better than anybody else. What Jesus is saying is that some of us just get it. We have been humbled in our lives, and we understand that we're sinners, and we are real about the mess that we've created in our lives. And we own our own messed upness, so to speak. And the more honest that we are about our failures, the more humility that we have in our life, and the more grateful that we are for the forgiveness of God and for the grace of God that we've received. And therefore, we are more accepting of other people because we understand that they're situations. We understand that they have flaws and differences. And because fundamentally, we have no room to judge anybody because we're focused in on our own mess and not on everybody else's. However, this also implies that the opposite is also true, that the people who don't acknowledge their own mess, the people who don't humbly come before God and ask for forgiveness for their sin by their own choice, Jesus said that those are the people who are judgmental of other people because they have developed this spiritual arrogance that says, I'm more moral than you. They've created this moral comparison, right? And they said, I'm not as bad as this person or this person, so I'm up here on the morality scale, and so now I can look down on other people. I'm more mature than you. I'm more spiritually mature than you. This is a mentality that goes against all the teachings of Jesus. That is the ugly part of the church that we have to work hard to keep out of this place. The bottom line is this, that God asks us to give grace to everybody, even when they think differently than us. And with great humility to admit, we don't know. We don't know. There are a lot of unknowns, and we're all just doing the best that we can. But at the end of the day, one thing is for sure. Ain't no politician gonna save any of us. So we have some choices that we're facing over the next few weeks as we lead into what I think is going to be a pretty tense time in our world. And I pray that we can make wise choices that will have a positive impact not only on our lives, but also on the lives of the people around us. And I pray that as we begin to come out of our little shelters, as the smoke clears, that we can come together as a united community who want nothing more than just to walk humbly with our God. It's in times like these that we have to admit that we are not as strong as we think we are. We're not in control. And we finally have to admit, I need God. I need God. I'm sure that I'm not alone when I say that I am really concerned for our country right now. But this is no time for despair. This is no time to give up. This is no time to become cynical or arrogant. This is a time where we rise up together and we become the people that God created us to be, people of grace and humility. And when we do that, I can just tell you, you and I, we can change the world. One person at a time.